Kurt and Kate Mornings, not just on the radio.
It's a podcast, too.
Artificial intelligence and pornography. The question is, where in the world is this headed?
Yes, and we had a guest who did such a great job talking about it a little bit removed from our everyday life so that we can really look and see the big picture of the problem with pornography and what AI could bring to the table.
Yeah. And in fact, stay with us in the podcast here. I know when I listen to podcasts, I admit it, confession's good for the soul. I jump around a little bit. I'm kind of going back and forth. But also included in this conversation with Phil Cotton-Noir is an article. We lay out some of these strategies. He's written a couple of articles, one on AI. The other one is 5 strategies to break free of porn's poisonous grip. We've got those strategies in this podcast as well. This new frontier of pornography, where it features no actual humans at all, but lifelike computer-generated images that have no souls, no legal status, no inhibitions, that just makes your blood run cold. And you're like, oh, man, if this thing explodes, then you're going to have people saying, well, then there will be no victims. We don't have to worry about it because these aren't real people engaging in these pornographic acts. This is, how far along are we in all of this? I have no idea.
Well, it's a great question. I think we're a lot further along than we would like to think. It's the kind of issue that, as a Christian, I can only track from a certain distance because I don't want to get too close to it. It's, like we said, it's poison, and I'm no exception to that. So what I do know is recently there was some controversy about some images that were generated by artificial intelligence that featured, some sort of digital representation of Taylor Swift, and that she was actually suing the people who made it to try and, you know, to say legally that this is not okay to make images of people. And I think that that's good. I think that we need to protect people's images. We are the image of God. The human body is sacred. And the fact that these digital tools exist doesn't make it okay. Now, beyond that, as you say, the argument is surely going to come when these tools become more sophisticated. The argument will come that there's no victim in this endeavor. If the people I shudder to think that someone somewhere will probably make a tool that can even generate images of children, you know, which again, I shudder even to say those words, but these are the dark realities that we're facing. And so this is all very sobering, and it forces us to ask as Christians, well, okay, if they make the argument that there's no victim in this because there's no human actor, then does that make it okay? And, the article that I was interacting with was basically saying the church needs to think ahead now and develop a deeper understanding of the harms of pornography so that we can say to a watching society and to also, of course, our own people, no, this is no better. Because the harms that pornography does is not limited to those who produce it, but to those who consume it and to the people around those who consume it, because pornography is a deeply reshaping experience in the sense that we have neurological scientific evidence that it rewires the brain of regular users, and we have countless testimonial evidence that it changes and perverts the desires of those who continually use it, because there's the law of diminishing returns, and therefore people are always being pushed towards more and more extreme content. So it's so that's kind of where it stands right now.
Porn's future is post-human. Well, okay, so let's talk about this issue of, okay, we are consuming AI porn, But won't it get to the point where it's like, we know, as you alluded to, you have to get more and more extreme to get the same kind of high out of viewing this material. But will it eventually, I mean, because it's feeding the depravity and the lust, won't it eventually lead to an acting out with an actual human being? And I'm thinking about pedophilia in particular here. You know, is it against the law to view AI porn where children are involved? Where does that come into play? And then, of course, are we creating pedophiles who will eventually act out?
Yeah, I think undoubtedly the logic of that whole addiction is towards, as you said, a real life experience. And, you know, it makes for harrowing reading, but you can read the testimonies of pedophiles and people who have been put in prison, such as Ted Bundy and others. And, you know, they'll say very plainly that, yeah, they started looking at pornography. First it was Playboy, and then it just goes on and on from there. And maybe not everyone will, but that doesn't matter. I mean, this is the you're getting on the train, and that train goes in one direction. And so, I think it's naive, dangerously so, in the extreme, to think that you can play around with this stuff, and that somehow, if it's AI generated, that now suddenly it's okay, and suddenly it won't have all the same effects on your soul and on society that porn has always had.
Producer Mark, you were talking to somebody on the phone a couple of minutes ago. What's up with this?
Yeah, we had someone calling in saying that in the city of Houston, and this had come from his sister, that they're in the process of building robot brothels.
Now,
what? Have you heard about this, Phil? Or is this definitely something that could be, unfortunately, the next wave after we see what's being put out there in terms of AI?
Yeah, that one's news to me, but it's not surprising, is it? If you look at the history of technology, this says something about the human condition, that, you know, pornographic material has kind of always been some of the leading edge of new technology. So when DVDs came out, there were, you know, a lot of porn DVDs being produced and circulated. And when the internet first was burgeoning and people were getting connected, what was some of the most popular and common websites being built? It was pornography. There's always, and of course that's true as well for this new virtual reality technology, the VR. And of course now, as you just mentioned, robotics and all of that stuff is continuing to advance. So all of these things, we shouldn't be surprised that a culture that is sadly as godless as ours will find ways to make money off of people's lust. And it just seems like we need to be sober-minded about these things, not be terribly surprised or scandalized, but we need to really make sure that we have our foundation solidly in Christ, because these are storms that are going to take our society and take it for a ride. But we need to be steadfast in our commitment to Christ and our local churches.
Thank you for taking some time to listen to this episode of the Curtain Cape Mornings podcast. We always welcome a review with your thoughts and comments, and please feel free to subscribe and follow us as well.
We had somebody who joins us in the 6 o'clock hour, part of our 6 o'clock club. He had texted us and he said, wait a minute, I heard something about you guys going to be discussing AI porn. My ears perked up because I've struggled with VR porn, which is what you alluded to, Phil, being too realistic. Anyway, I'm one of the many folks, when you pray against addictions or pray for people with addictions, you're praying for me during the 6 o'clock hour, during your prayer time, et cetera, et cetera. And so he's like, man, I cannot wait for this conversation with you know, Phil. So Phil, let's talk about VR porn. We don't know. I mean, we know enough to know it's bad, but we don't know enough about it. That's been around a lot longer than AI. Am I right?
I believe so. And And I think, you know, what that does compared to, let's say, what people could access through the internet a few years ago is it's just becoming that much more immersive and that much more overwhelming to the senses. So, you know, if lust and pornography are getting at our desire for pleasure, and pleasure comes through the senses, then VR is just the next level up, where you're getting more of that rush from the stimulation that your senses are receiving. But it really is, at the end of the day, all the same thing. It's just cranked to 11. And there's a certain fatigue that sets in. I mean, this is the cycle of addiction, and you could, I think, probably describe the same dynamics with other kinds of addiction. But there's something going on chemically in the brain, which doesn't mean it's not also spiritual. But there is a chemical component to this where that level of stimulation is so powerful that it rewires the brain because it's pleasurable. And so then you really want to have that experience again. And so now you're combining a spiritual struggle in the heart with what I think can rightly be described as a biological, a physiological addiction, where your body is craving for that same release, which is why it's so hard to break free from pornography and many other addictions that are like this, because we're literally being rewired, and it's no small matter to break free, and it requires it's a community project. It requires support. It requires a kind of a wholehearted effort.
I want to go back to the phones, though. Here, let's go to Joe in Tampa. Hey, Joe. Good morning. Welcome to the conversation.
Yes, thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, the man, he really touched on it. The dopamine high that you get from certain addictions like porn, it's harder to break than heroin. And young men and men in general are addicted to porn. And that's one reason that they're not getting married anymore.
Well, you know what? That's a really good point, Joe. What do you think about that, Phil? Is it, you know, are men just saying, forget about it. I don't need to get married. Porn is okay. All of that.
I think it absolutely is a contributing factor to the dismal low rates of marriage. I think there's other things that play into that as well that are also very important. But if you just think about the health and the, let's say, the flourishing of men, I don't want to restrict it to physical health, but just really, like, are men and boys doing well? Everyone agrees they're not. And our society is deeply conflicted about what masculinity is and what it should look like. And men, I think, for the most part, are kind of floundering. They're demotivated. And pornography is an easy source of pleasure and comfort for men who are struggling. And so I think men today are primed to be susceptible, and they're at the mercy of this incredibly powerful stimulant and this force, which is, you know, the other thing I want to mention is pornography is a predatory industry. And I mean that towards the consumer, in the sense that these pornography companies and purveyors of porn, they're getting filthy rich off the misery and addiction of millions of men. Now, I also think the men are guilty and they're victimizers. So it's a two-edged sword, I think, you know, but that piece is there. And sometimes in the Christian church, we're very hard on men, and we don't, you know, we don't acknowledge that men are struggling, and this powerful, well-funded, you know, billion-dollar industry comes and finds ways to addict them through every single screen and device that they have. And it's a real problem. Our men are struggling. They're not getting married. Marriages where pornography is a part of it are not as healthy as they could be. And so, yeah, I really do think this is a largely hidden but deeply subversive thing that's going on in our church and in society.
Yeah. couple of things that I would like to highlight. Number one, it's not just men. The stats that are out there seem to indicate that women are also embracing porn. And then here's the second thing I was thinking about, whether it be men or women. As you mentioned there, Phil, this is something that is happening inside the church. We have our brothers and sisters in Christ who are struggling big time with this, and it is just their big battle every single day. So at the tail end of our conversation, you wrote an article about the five strategies to break free of porn's poisonous grip. I don't want to end this conversation without giving folks hope. Could you walk through those strategies for us?
Sure, I'd be happy to. The first one is very simple. It's believe, and I love what you mentioned about it being a problem for women as well. Yeah, I do focus on the men because that's been my experience, and it's the men that I walk with kind of week by week who are struggling with this. But absolutely, this is a very serious problem for women as well, and I'm glad you mentioned that. So these strategies are for anyone. And the first is to simply believe that it's possible to walk in a pattern of purity. I sometimes hear people say, well, since perfection is impossible, then, you know, I'm just going to have to settle for this in my life. And perfection is not possible. That's true. We're going to have expressions of sin, expressions of lust to be, I'm going to battle lust till the day I die. But that's not the same as saying that I can just give up and walk in a pattern of sin. By God's grace, He gives us strength. In Titus 2, it says that God's grace trains us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions. So God's grace doesn't sort of just cover over sin in our lives, but it trains us to live godly lives. And so it is possible. And, you know, we do face a particular challenge in our society, but Paul's society, when he was writing those words, was also incredibly perverse in its sexual habits, and it was out in the open, and there were temptations at every street corner. And so it's not really something new, how hard it is to learn to walk in purity. And second was to learn to exert grace-driven effort. So we want to exert effort. This is going to take work. We're going to have to fight. But we don't want to fight in a way that's contrary to the gospel, right? We fight because we've been loved. We fight because we're forgiven of this already. We fight because of how much God has loved us. And I link to a great little piece by an 18th century Scottish pastor there that can be helpful. The third point is to desire universal holiness. I'm drawing on John Owen, that great Puritan theologian, in his book, The Mortification of Sin, which I highly recommend.
Yes.
If you don't mind a little bit of old English, it's fantastic and it's so helpful to me. But he points out that why would God free you from this sin if you don't really have a desire to be free of all sin? And he says in it that God will say to that man, no, if I free him from this lust, I will not hear from him anymore, and he'll be content in his failure. And so he's saying, you know, do a heart check. Are you actually desiring to be free of all sin, or are you sort of, for selfish reasons, wanting to be free of pornography because it's so disruptive to your life? And I'll just quickly run through the last two here. The fourth one is to guard your spiritual power. And what I'm just saying in that point is that in the Christian life, you know, it's impossible to have spiritual power, to have boldness, to have that extra level of confidence in your faith if you're regularly indulging in pornography and lust in your life. And so it's like having a hole in the bottom of your cup. You just cannot keep that thing full. And lastly, and most importantly, drag sin into the light and apply full strength gospel. And this is, I guess, the point I want to leave your listeners with is that the gospel is for sinners. Pornography and masturbation and all those things, that those manifestations of lust, it's sin, but it's not some sort of special category of sin. It's exactly the kind of sin the gospel destroys and overcomes. And I think we can lose sight of that. And so confess your sins to one another and dig deeper into the gospel, because in Romans 1, we hear it is the power of God. And so Christ, there's more of Christ than I think many people have yet taken hold of. And the gospel is powerful enough, the blood is powerful enough to break us from this poison.
Phil, what can I say? We love having you with us and talking about this. It's never easy, but it's very important. We can't bury our heads in the sand. Thank you for your ministry.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
Thanks for listening to Curtain Cape Mornings Podcast. Please take a minute to follow, subscribe, and review us. And no matter where in the world you are, you can listen to us live from 6 to 9 a.m. weekdays on the Moody Radio app.